A successful businessman suddenly loses all desire to work. FBI agents crack a kidnapping case through an unexpected connection. Disney's creative team transforms a failing film into a billion-dollar franchise. What connects these seemingly unrelated stories? They all reveal a counterintuitive truth. Productivity isn't about raw effort or talent, it's about understanding the hidden mechanics of how our minds work. When we grasp these principles, extraordinary results become surprisingly accessible. Robert Philippe built an auto parts empire through decades of hustle, yet after a South American vacation, he became apathetic, content watching television while his business languished. Medical tests showed normal cognition, but he had no desire to act. An MRI revealed the culprit, a tiny shadow in his striatum, the brain's central dispatch translating decisions into actions. Neurologist Mauricio Delgado's research illuminated what Robert had lost. When participants made their own choices in a guessing game, their brains lit up with pleasurable anticipation. When identical choices were made for them, brain activity flatlined. Motivation isn't primarily about rewards, it's about feeling in control of our choices. This explains why Marine Corps boot camp was redesigned to emphasize decision-making, and why nursing homes giving residents small choices saw dramatic improvements in health and mortality. Julia Rozovsky experienced two dramatically different teams during business school, one stressful and competitive, another thriving through mutual support. At Google, she joined Project Aristotle, analyzing 180 teams to discover success factors. The breakthrough? Group norms, unwritten rules governing behavior. How team members treated each other mattered far more than who was on the team. The crucial norm proved to be psychological safety, whether members felt safe taking interpersonal risks. Research confirmed successful teams share two behaviors. Members speak in roughly equal proportion, and they demonstrate high social sensitivity. Teams of average performers with good interaction patterns routinely outperform brilliant individuals lacking these norms. When Air France Flight 447 crashed into the Atlantic in 2009, investigators found no mechanical failure. The Airbus A330 crashed because of a failure of human attention. When ice crystals disabled airspeed sensors, the autopilot disengaged. Pilot Pierre Cedric Bonin took manual control but pulled back on the control stick, causing the plane to stall. Despite clear instrument readings, the pilots remained confused until impact. Bonin fell victim to cognitive tunneling, a mental glitch occurring when our brains abruptly transition from relaxed automation to panicked attention. When automation handles routine tasks, our mental spotlight dims. During emergencies, that spotlight must suddenly intensify but latches onto whatever is directly in front of us, even if irrelevant. The solution lies in mental models, detailed pictures we create in our minds of what we expect to see. Certain NICU nurses predict problems before they appear by constantly telling themselves stories about what's happening, immediately noticing when something doesn't match expectations. Captain Richard de Crispigny demonstrated this during Qantas Flight 32's near-catastrophic failure. As alarms cascaded, he recognized cognitive tunneling, removed his hands from the controls, and said, "Let's keep this simple." Rather than fixating on what was broken, he redirected focus to what remained operational. By mentally reframing the sophisticated Airbus as a simple Cessna, he filtered out distractions and landed safely. In October 1972, General Eli Zira became Israel's Director of Military Intelligence, establishing strict threat criteria. No country would attack without an air force and missiles to strike Tel Aviv. When Egyptian troops massed along the Suez Canal, Zira dismissed invasion concerns. Egypt lacked these capabilities. On October 6, 1973, Yom Kippur, Egypt and Syria launched a devastating surprise attack. Despite numerous warnings, Zira had dismissed them all, clinging rigidly to his framework. Ambitious objectives mean nothing without questioning assumptions. Effective goal setting balances two approaches. Stretch goals spark innovation by challenging fundamental assumptions. When Jack Welch learned about bullet trains in Japan, he demanded bullet train thinking at GE, impossible targets alongside normal objectives. When the aircraft engine division proposed reducing defects by 25%, Welch pushed for 70%. This audacious target forced complete reimagination, ultimately achieving 75% reduction. Yet stretch goals need smart systems, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, timeline, to prevent panic. Zira's fatal flaw wasn't ambition, it was his craving for closure, the psychological need to settle questions definitively. 40 years later, he admitted carrying a note asking, "And if not?" A reminder to question assumptions. Before the war, he confessed, "I didn't read that little note. That was my mistake." When Rick Madrid visited Toyota's Japanese plant, he witnessed something revolutionary. A worker encountering a misthreaded bolt pulled a cord, stopping the entire assembly line. Instead of punishment, senior managers rushed to help, contradicting GM's "the line never stops" philosophy. Toyota's production system empowered line workers closest to problems. When proposing this for their California Nummy venture, Americans scoffed, but Toyota insisted trust was their competitive advantage. Everything changed when Tetsuro Toyota personally guided worker Joe to pull the and-on cord, then bowed an apology for not emphasizing its importance. By lunch, everyone knew the story. Cord pulls skyrocketed, productivity doubled, absenteeism dropped from 25% to 3%, and substance abuse vanished. Stanford professors tracked nearly 200 Silicon Valley startups over 15 years. Commitment firms, focused on employee well-being, dominated. None failed, they went public fastest, and achieved highest profitability. These companies avoided layoffs, invested in training, and supported work-life balance, fostering trust that helped everyone weather setbacks. Professional poker player Annie Duke faced a critical decision at the 2004 Tournament of Champions with $450,000 in the pot. Despite her expertise, Greg Raymer's unexpected bet disrupted her mental models. She folded her pair of tens, the right decision, as he held two kings. Better decision-making requires probabilistic thinking, envisioning multiple possible futures with different probabilities. In 2011, the Good Judgment Project trained ordinary people to analyze questions from multiple angles. Participants assessed French President Sarkozy's re-election by considering incumbency advantage, 67%, approval ratings, 25%, and economic performance, 45%. Averaging these yielded a 46% prediction. 9 months later, Sarkozy received 48.4% and lost. Probabilistic training increased prediction accuracy by up to 50%. Annie demonstrated this thinking against Phil Hellmuth by deliberately bluffing four times to establish a pattern. When she finally got two pair, kings and nines, Phil folded his pair of kings to her all-in bet. Annie revealed only her nines, making Phil think she'd bluffed recklessly. In the next hand, convinced she was bluffing again, Phil went all in, only to discover Annie had the better kicker. Through practice and analysis, we can influence the probability our predictions come true. We're obsessed with productivity hacks, yet miss what matters. The most productive people work with their brain's natural wiring, not against it. They create moments of choice to spark motivation. They build environments where psychological safety enables collaboration. They construct mental models that maintain focus. They balance vision with concrete steps. Start small. Give yourself one genuine choice today. In your next meeting, notice who speaks and who doesn't. Before your commute, tell yourself a story about what you expect. Question one assumption you've treated as fact. Ask, "What are the odds?" instead of "What will happen?" Productivity isn't a destination. It's a practice of understanding how our minds work and creating conditions where our best thinking emerges naturally. In a world that rewards those who work smarter, these skills aren't optional. They're the difference between exhausting effort and meaningful impact.